It is all the architecture which has been built, developed since Islam became a reference for a civilization in the Middle East and beyond Middle East through the Mediterranean area and then through Asia and Africa, has inspired not only architecture but the whole civilization. As a religion, it has exercised a lot of influence on literature, on philosophy, on law, on architecture, on urbanism, on everything, on crafts, activities, on everything. This is a particularity of this religion, which has been influential in several fields, and in the same time it left a possibility for each culture to express itself in this frame created by general references to Islam. Public buildings, yes, also palaces, hotels, yes, and also the urban fabric, the urban design, which is linked, for example, to the concept of privacy. To preserve privacy of women inside the door, you have to build houses which look inside instead of looking outside. Yes.
No, if you'd like to start with the last question, so why don't we do that?
Yes, because I can justify my presence here.
You don't have to justify your presence here. Not to us. Okay, well, I'll begin with it. Where did the Aga Khan Award for Architecture and the Trust for Culture fit in the scheme of change in Iran?
I think it's necessary to remind ourselves that this Aga Khan Award for Architecture has been created in 1978, and it has been created to see the evolution, the historical evolution which was taking place in all Muslim countries after these countries have recovered their political independence during the 50s and the 60s. And architecture is a very important domain of the expression of cultural identity of societies. And in that time, it was a time where all these societies, like all societies of the third world countries, which were not all Muslims, were preoccupied with problems of economic development and social development. And this was under the pressure of Western models. And in Muslim societies, references to the past of Islamic civilization were lost. I mean that Muslims didn't preserve the memory of the classical civilization, because this classical civilization took place historically from 7th century after Christ to 13th century. And as far as architecture is concerned, there has been also a very rich period under the Ottoman Empire. Ottomans have been great builders throughout Mediterranean area. But all this architecture, which has been developed through centuries, has been forgotten under the influence of the new model which came from the West. So there has been a struggle between the need of Muslims to recover their legacy, their past, and to try to reactivate it, and the necessity also to introduce the new materials, the new conceptions, the new design which came from Europe. And in the 60s and 50s, 60s, 70s in Europe, architecture was developing social housing, which was a very bad architecture. We suffer from it now, and this in all countries, in socialist countries, communist countries, as well as in European liberal countries. It was the big trend of architecture, because the ideology of giving possibilities of housing for all people, especially for workers, was very much respected at that time, but architecture didn't follow. They didn't produce good models for architecture. So the Aga Khan, who is the imam of the Ismaili community, was worried by this situation, because the architecture in legacy and the urban cities, urban fabric, was deteriorating under these new models and these new techniques and this new material which was borrowed or imposed by the West in this time, where societies were looking for their development. And also from another point of view, the Aga Khan Award wanted to initiate a conception of architecture which would integrate the cultural dimension and not only the social dimension for housing, as I thought, or to build new environment, new buildings like universities, like schools, like hospitals, etc., because these societies were in need of building very urgently all this, because it didn't exist. So architectural movements has been extremely strong in these years, and there was a need for reflection, to innovate in architectural teaching in schools of architecture in such a way that these new problems were taken into consideration to produce an environment, a built environment, which would respect the legacy of Islam as a culture, as a civilization, and in the same time, of course, integrate the new techniques of architecture which were developing in the West. This was the idea of the Aga Khan Award of Architecture, and then this has been developed since now 18 years. Each 3 years, there is a cycle, each 3 years, we give an award to selected projects, built projects in all Muslim world, but also outside the Muslim world. For example, we have awarded the Institute of Arab World, which is built in Paris in the last 80s, because it is devoted to Arabic civilization, Islamic civilization, although it is in France, which is not a Muslim country, although now there are some Muslims there, almost 4 million Muslims. It's not closed only or devoted only for Muslim societies. It is unique in its genre. It doesn't. There is nothing similar to this initiative, because it is a pluridisciplinary concept to approach problems of architecture as problems of culture. Culture understood as a historical curiosity for what has been the classical culture in Islam, and a curiosity also for what culture represents in contemporary societies in the West as well as in the, so this is a new approach to architecture and a new concept for teaching architecture and for practicing architecture, to have an harmonious development of the urban cities, especially in Muslim societies. Also, this is another dimension of the Aga Khan Award, because we know that from the demographic point of view, the population of Muslim societies was growing very fast in the, during the 60s, 70s, and 80s. From 1960 to 1996, today, the population of almost all the Muslim societies has been tripled. So it is a big scale, a big change, and then building giving houses for this young population. They are young, so they have to marry, they have to grow, etc. Has been a very, very large scale to be taken into consideration. And this has been developed, as I told, through many seminars that we have organized all over Muslim world, from Indonesia to Morocco and from Tajikistan to Zanzibar, because it covers the whole world. So it is a very interesting inquiry, a scientific inquiry about a field which is extremely rich. To learn about ancient architecture and about the problems of conservation of monuments which are old and which are deteriorating, problems of reactivating designs, classical designs, and try to see how to use it today, etc., etc.
So that leads me to one of his questions. I'm not going to take these in order because you brought up the issue of monuments. This question, are there many monuments in the Islamic world which are empty relics? What value do you see in them?
Yes. Here, as I told, the history of Islamic cultures, because each country has its own culture, although it developed in the common frame, which is Islamic frame. For example, Indonesia has many languages, many cultures, many ethno-cultural groups. These cultures have not been studied historically, and the memory of these cultures is lost in almost all Muslim societies. And this is one of the problems which is faced since the independence of these societies, because on one side these societies are looking for recovering what they call their identity, to have an expression of the nation according to their own identity, and on the other side they didn't develop teaching, they didn't develop scientific research, they didn't develop interest for historical knowledge of the all the aspects of culture, of each culture, so that to build something which would respect all what has been built in the past is extremely difficult, because we lack historical informations. And also there are problems of economic problems of money for architecture, for restoring, etc. There are problems of money, so that the ambitions which have been developed by each state to recover the nationalist identity, the national identity, couldn't be served at the point which of course was hoped by Muslims themselves and by the states. And there is a discrepancy between the ambitions claimed by the states and the realities, because even when we restore, for example, a monument in Cairo or in Istanbul or in Iran, etc., because the population has not yet well educated in knowing and understanding the importance of such monuments, to preserve it and to restore it and to protect it from other disintegrations, there has been problems from the lack of culture, which made all the work for preserving, for restoring, is still insufficient regarding the importance of the legacy. For example, when we see a city like Cairo, it is an extremely rich city, with monuments, with ancient houses, and unfortunately Cairo has grown up because of the population of the rural people coming in the city, and all this has created a situation which is more a situation of deteriorating environment than a situation of enhancing the conservation of the ancient building.
Modern fabrics.
Yes, modern fabrics exist also, because many countries, especially countries which have money, like Saudi Arabia, they have developed modern architecture, used modern technologies to build, for example, hotels, to build universities, to build hospitals, to build public buildings for administration use, for example, in a very, very modern, sophisticated style. In some cities in Malaysia or in Saudi Arabia, in Iraq before the war, you can see buildings like we can see them in Los Angeles or in Chicago. No, it's not to restore. It's to build new buildings for new functions, new use. There is a difference between restoring and building, for example, banks, hotels, as I said. These are new buildings designed as they are designed by architects in the West. And there is an influence, big influence of Western architecture, modern Western architecture, in all Muslim countries. So we have the coexistence of the two types of buildings, buildings which try to resurrect or to restore ancient styles or to imitate ancient styles. This is done more or less in a more or less correct approach, and buildings which are totally modern. When we have countries who have money to develop this kind of buildings. And for social housing, as I told, unfortunately, they follow the stereotyped model, the standard model, to have big buildings with, of course, uncomfortable flats and concentration of population in one place, and with all the inconveniences which are attached to this type of architecture and urbanism. But this exists as well in Western societies. For example, in France, we have a lot of problems of all the buildings for social housing, which have been multiplied in the 60s and the 70s, and now we have enormous problems with these buildings, and some are just destroyed. Yes. Yes, this is a mystic saying. Mystics used to say this because they are attached to develop the spiritual meaning of the Quran and to disregard all what's material or what concerns the material life and the profane world, etc. But this concerns, of course, a spiritual approach of religion, and some try to use this for a culture and in architecture, but this was true in classical time. It is not anymore true today. Today we have many mosques which have been built since the last 60s and 70s, and the mosques are built for more for political reasons than for religious reasons. And the style of mosques which are built in these conditions are not so much inspired by this saying like this, giving importance to the spiritual side, which is inspiring to translate religious symbolism through architecture, as it has been the case in classical time, not only for Islam, but also for other religions. For example, Buddhism has a wonderful religious architecture, like Borobudur monument in Indonesia, which is a very important example of a religious architecture, or architecture, Christian architecture, or Jewish architecture, etc. So, but this is the problem of the whole issue of secularization in our present world. And of course, Muslim world is affected by the movement of secularization, and the spiritual inspiration disappears in culture, and when it disappears in culture, it disappears in architecture too. That's why many of the mosques which are built since the last 30 years are very far from the models inspired by religious spirituality like it has been in the past.
I just want to move this a little further away. Okay. You don't have to be too close. Carry on.
Can you give me an idea, because this is radio and we can't show pictures, what a mosque that respects the spiritual values, how that would differ visually from the mosque you're describing as being built for political reasons? I don't know how difficult this would be, but when you look at them, what's the difference you see?
It is the aesthetic aspect of the mosque. The harmony of proportions, the design inside of the dome, for example, the quality and the aesthetic, the elegance of the columns inside. There are many details which show a sense of aesthetics, a sense of elegance, a sense of refinement, which we cannot find at the same level today. It's linked also to the problem of crafts activities, because craftsmen participate, of course, to the whole enterprise of building a religious monument, because crafts activities have suffered in the present time for economic reasons and also from cultural reasons, because traditional culture disappeared. It's not transmitted from a generation to a generation like it has been before. And all this has created new situations for building religious monuments. And they are built with the materials and with the design which is offered by architects who have no idea, for example, about the history of spirituality in Islam. And this affects, of course, the design of the building. It affects all the aesthetic inspiration which is expected in a religious monument, because spirituality is linked with a sense of aesthetics, like we see this in many religious monument in all religions. In Christianity, for example, we know how they have a sense of landscape, a sense of aesthetic inside, a sense, etc., of harmony for the proportions outside. All this research is not present in the buildings which are which are built in the context of political and ideological use of religion, as I said, more to affirm the new identity than to express a faith, a religious faith.
Is it possible to combine both?
It is possible to combine both if you provide for people a relevant culture, a relevant training to know what religion is, what politics is, and what culture is. And for this you need a special education of architects.
Does this go back to the Agathon Award?
Yes, of course. It is one of the concerns precisely of the award. The award has been founded to give more conscience about all the problems I am mentioning for people, and to make people aware of the necessity of training architects and also respecting the crafts activities, which you cannot separate from architectural activities.
What are the forces in Islam today that want to preserve the past intact at all costs? I find it difficult to ask some of these questions because I know that there's a deeper meaning to them. I don't know.
Yes. The forces, unfortunately, we cannot speak about forces because there are individuals who are interested. There are some personalities, intellectuals, who are interested, but they have no possibility, no material possibility to implement their ambitions to restore models of classical type. Not to restore it as it is, but to adapt them, as I said, to the new styles and the new design. The states, some states have a concern, like in Morocco, for example. The King Hassan in Morocco has always encouraged to preserve the crafts activities in Morocco. It's one of the countries where crafts activities have been encouraged and still exist, although they lost also their sense of aesthetic like it was before. But many other countries have not such an interest, such an eager attention to enhance the knowledge of culture and to adapt this knowledge of culture to the new trends and the new conceptions which are provided by modernity. This is very difficult to achieve, this combination.
I'm wondering if Don is thinking in the terms of forces, of economic forces and political forces and religious forces. Could that be what he means in this question?
I am not sure. He may think that what we try to develop in the Akakana world corresponds to existing forces in many societies, which is not true. The Aga Khan world want to generate an interest which precisely doesn't exist. It's the contrary. It's because these forces are lacking, because the cultural approach of architecture, in the largest meaning of cultural approach, is lacking. It's because of this that the Aga Khan world has been created to raise more interest and more awareness about the importance of this evolution, which should take place and which didn't take place because there are too many problems which are not solved, especially the economic problems, economic resources, and also cultural resources, which are very, very weak.
All right. We're going to talk about women now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, on one side there are important changes because we see more and more women engaged in modern life. They are practicing all professional activities in a modern city. So there is an evolution. We cannot say that this segregation, which still exists in some countries, is a general rule. This is not correct, but we have some countries which are coming back to what they consider as the tradition of Islam, but this is questionable. The knowledge of tradition, as it is translated by some countries, which are led by a fundamentalist conception of religion, have a definition of tradition which is not enough inspired and based, grounded on the knowledge of Islamic tradition as it developed in the classical time, because the Islamic tradition is a pluralist tradition. It is not a monolithic tradition. It is open to many cultural influences in the classical time. That's why the classical architecture is so rich. We have Iranian influences, we have Turkish influences, we have Indian influences, we have many influences, even Greek and Roman influences. The Mosque of Damascus has been built on an ancient Roman temple. It was open to all these influences. And the concept of tradition today is rather a narrow concept, is a dogmatic concept. This is also one of the reasons why the Aga Khan founded the Award for Architecture. It is also to answer to this narrowing definition of the tradition, while Islamic tradition is multiple, is pluralist, is open for discussion, and all this is disappearing under the pressure of a political, ideological definition of tradition. So you see, the award, the Aga Khan Award, has the ambition to answer to many issues which are characteristic of the present forces, which are political and social forces, more than political, more than cultural forces. Yes, yes, it is interesting because it is complex. Yes. Yes, this also refers to issues which are not well approached, not well defined, because theological activity like I said, for architectural activities and cultural activities is extremely weak in the present Islam. We do not have theologians. We have people who speak about law, about the how to apply the religious law, but in a very narrow conception of law, for the reasons I just mentioned, because in the classical Islam we had many schools of law, not one school of law. Now, for example, in Algeria, Tunisia and Morocco, you have only one school of law, which is followed. And which still is enforced in all these three countries. In Egypt also you have one school, in Turkey you have one school. There is not this interface between many schools to generate a dynamic reflection on law, to improve the law, to change the law, to adapt the law to new circumstances, etc. This has been lost.
Why was it lost?
Yes, this you need
what you're describing is a living, growing.
Yes, this is a big historical issue. Yes, big historical issue in all Muslim societies, and especially societies linked to Mediterranean area, because in Mediterranean area there has been a competition between European societies and Muslim societies. And since Europe developed its hegemony, since 16th century, since the discovery of America, the route, the Atlantic route, etc., the balance of forces between Islamic societies and European Christian societies has changed to the benefit of European societies. And this has changed totally the evolution of all these societies, for culture, for politics, for architecture, for everything. And this generated all the colonial domination in 19th century. And until now, this is not finished.
So what some people see now then as, I'm going to use the word rebirth, the strengthening of Islamic countries and cultures and beliefs, the fundamentalists.
Yes, we thought
it's
that...
It's not actually a rebirth at all.
No. We thought, in the 50s and 60s, we thought that a rebirth would be possible, just after the independence. There has been great euphoria with people after liberation. They achieved a political victory, and they thought that it would be easy to achieve an economic victory and a cultural victory. This didn't happen for many reasons. And now we are in a period of a big crisis, because the crisis affects also the industrialized societies, European societies, and the crisis is general. There is also a crisis of ideology after the collapse of communist ideology, and we are in a situation where underdeveloped societies, third world societies, are suffering from the crisis even more than Western societies.
So where can architects fit in to bringing about some opening up?
They are endeavoring in this hard and difficult situation, where forces of deterioration, of disintegration are increasing. Nevertheless, architects are struggling to bring answers in this difficult situation, to have their inspiration from classical examples, and also from the innovations which are taking place in architectural design, architectural innovation, and there are some success which the Aga Khan Award is detecting for each cycle, to show precisely on these examples that something positive can be made in spite of this negative evolution. Because architecture is an encompassing activity. Archi in Greek means encompassing. including everything. Architects include cultural activities, spiritual activities, intellectual activities, economic, political, aesthetic, artistic. It includes everything. And when you have a nice building, it inspires respect. The building is respected. I see it in my university. We have awful buildings. So the students react against this. They don't accept it. So they destroy it. They throw everything. It's dirty. But if you have a nice building, it inspires respect. You love it. You respect it.
You rush. We're almost done. Buildings centered on religion often exist within a larger secular context. How should they resonate for the faithful within this context? Buildings centered on religion often exist within a secular context?
Yes.
Okay, how can they resonate for the faithful within this secular context?
They resonate like they do in secularized context in Western societies. This struggle exists as well for Christian believers and for all believers who are living in the West. And this clash between religious inspiration and secular vision, secular style of life, is a clash which started to develop since 18th century, when reason of enlightenment created this split, this rupture between religious inspiration for culture and secular vision, secular conception of culture and human life, human existence. And this model is affecting all cultures, all societies, and the Muslim societies are affected by this at the end of 20th century, while in Europe it started already in 18th century. This is the only one difference, but the pattern is the same. The opposition is the same. The Islam is not an exception for this. It reacts just as Christianity did since 18th century and during all 19th century. There has been a struggle between the church and the secularizing forces in European societies. And still we see these tensions and these clashes. It's not finished.
So if an architect can design a religious building that embodies the tradition and the spirituality and
yes.
the culture.
Yes. I think many people today would adopt it and would be happy to have it.
Can you repeat what I said?
Yes.
In your own way?
Yes. If architects produce a religious building for religious worship according to a spiritual inspiration, I think there are many people today who would be happy with such an implementation of religious inspiration through architecture, because many people are lacking and are aspiring to have such building. But of course architects are trained in a secularized school, in a secularized culture, and they have not the inspiration they could have in a society where religion was recognized as a public activity, as a public culture meant for giving a frame of existence for people in the society. This doesn't exist like it existed before. Quickly, which are the questions?
I think you've answered two of them. He has a question here that's very simple. In general terms, what is a building for?
What is?
A building for.
What is a building for?
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand.
I don't understand it either.
So let's put it aside.
Fine. Do you have anything you'd like to say? I've asked all of the questions that Don gave me.
Yes. I would like just to add that all these questions concerning the Muslim world are not particular to Muslim world. We can raise it as well for European societies. There is only a difference of time of historical pace of evolution when we look what is happening now in Muslim societies and what has happened already in European societies, as I said, since 18th and the 19th century. But the clash between two patterns of civilization and culture, the religious pattern or model and the secularized pattern, the differences between these models and the reactions of people to these differences can be observed in Europe as well as in all other societies. In Muslim societies today, of course, the reactions are violent, more violent than they have been in European societies in 19th century, because there are pressures from outside and pressures from inside, and people are reacting to these double pressures: pressures from the West, pressures from the economic system, pressures from the monetary system, pressures from the ideological development of politics in the world, etc., etc., and pressures from inside, from demography, from the state, which didn't develop enough possibilities for democracy, and didn't develop an appropriate system of education to handle all these issues. So all this provokes a lot of discomfort, of tensions, which are expressed by the violence we are witnessing.
Do you hold out hope?
We have always to have hope, otherwise life would be impossible.
Thank you very much.
Yes.